good in business to such a degree, if he buy even the dirt, he will be making money in it. You see, because the Prophet ﷺ made dua for him. And this also shows you that how a person should be kind by trying to reward the people when they do good for him, and the minimum that you make dua for them. Because the Prophet ﷺ had made dua for this sahabi. Also that here, that was no any set limit for the Prophet, okay? And he acted in his own, and what he's supposed to buy for one, he bought two for one, he sold one, okay, and he came back with the dinar, and so that means there is no a set limit how much he's supposed to make a profit on whatever product that he bought. Because that means when he bought two for dinar, that means each one cost one dinar or half dinar, okay? But he went and he what, double his profit, okay? So again, we have to understand, as long as there is somebody else selling the same items and there is no necessity in the people's life, you can boost your profit to whatever you want. It's up to you, okay? So it's not a set for the amount of profit, is according how much the people need or they want or whatever. The next hadith, hadith number 687, the hadith weak, we're going to leave it alone. And after this hadith number 688, the hadith is mawquf, okay? So it's not been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the correct one and the authentic one, which is mawquf, that the Sahabi telling us that not to buy fish in the water, okay, because it's a form of deceiving, okay? I sell you 100 fish. I sell you 100 fish from this lake, okay? Which fish is small, big, okay? How much will take you to get them, and what kind, other things, and properly you're going to be able to catch them or not to catch them. So there is a deceiving involved here, so you could not do this, okay? If it's fish inside water in a limited quantity, like tank as example, okay, that you can take the whole tank, or that you can actually get it, it's not going to be running all over the place, like scooping it or taking it, there's no other place for them to go. This is so that you see the fish in front of you and you can have the position over it, but fish in the lake like this or in the ocean is too much to be selling this, okay? Yeah. The next hadith also is mawquf from Ibn Abbas radiallahu an, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade to la yuba' suf ala zahar, selling a fruit till it becomes ripe, or selling fur which is still on the back of the animal, okay, and selling milk in the breast. Because how much milk, okay? Is it because the milk supposed to be measured, but you don't know what is this in the breast, how much it is? Is it one measure, two measurements, or whatever it is? The fur now still in the back of the animal. Now when you go to cut it, maybe you cut it closer to the skin or closer to the top, so you are not getting the same. You don't know how much amount you're getting, you see? So all the things that have some kind of deceiving or some kind of not certain or not clear to the buyer, okay, is not supposed to be done, because it's going to bring about again confusion and hatred in the Muslim's heart to each other. And even if they do it, it still is not permissible to be done. The next hadith, which hadith number 690, reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an bay' al-madameen wal-malaqih. Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forbid the sale of what is in the womb of a domestic animals, or semen that is in the body of a
stallion.
Okay, and we talk about one hadith which is similar to this before. This hadith is authentic. Okay, so now again, if I'm telling you what's in the stomach of the cow, what about if it didn't come out, if it's dead? If it comes, I understand, well, was defect in it. When it's going to come, in a month or two, all these things is not known. So you could not feel what's in the stomach of the camel or the cow, whatever, the baby. When the baby come, and after this you sell it. This is one thing. The second thing also, the solution or the ceiling of the bull or the horse or the male members of the animal, okay? Because this is not permissible in Islam. And if the people want to borrow the camel, the male camel or the male cow or whatever it is, this is to be some kind of like you call neighborly deed or kind act to be done among each other with no any charge of it. Last hadith in this chapter, hadith number 691, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أقال مسلما بيعته أقال الله عسرته. Again, with all this kind of transaction, it may be something defect, maybe something that you don't know about it as a seller, or maybe you understand was not in the thing when you sold it, whatever it is, or that everything was fine, there is no defect in it, but the person the next day after he bought it, he felt bad, or he could not really, he found himself in difficulty. Okay, so he comes back to you as a seller. Okay, the buyer come back to the seller and asking him to take back his product and give him his money. The seller is not required, or he's not obligated to do so, okay? Because the deal been done, he transferred the product, he received his cash, and they depart, and both of them was pleased with the transaction, and they depart from the place. So this now is done deal. When you come tomorrow, I'm not obligated to take it, regardless whatever it is, they understand. But still Islam also try to keep this brotherhood always, and forgiveness and consideration, and or whatever reason that the person felt that he won't take the product back. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraging us to do so, and he said, whosoever accept back what he had sold to his Muslim brother, Allah will forgive him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his fault in the day of resurrection. So by accepting your Muslim brother and or his wants, or he feeling bad about this transaction. By doing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do something similar to you in the day of judgment, okay, in a higher scale, and this that Allah will accept your faults and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive your sins, inshallah, and Allah knows best. And beg Allah's forgiveness and for any mistakes that I made in this class, and inshallah we're going to say something. Inshallah, if there is any question, please keep it for next class, because I'm a little bit exhausted. I would like to go rest. Jazakumullah khairan. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره. نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Inshallah, today we continue in our classes concerning Sharh Kitab Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam lil-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. This is a continuation for our classes from the book The Attainment of the Objective by Al-Hafiz Al-Imam Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani. And for the last four classes we've been dealing with the book of Transaction. And last week we had finished the chapter concerning the condition of business transaction and those which are forbidden. And today, inshallah, supposed to start a new chapter under the same book, the book of transaction. Last week we had finished up to hadith number 691. And before I start my class today, I had mentioned last week about one hadith that I could not, I was not able to classify it to be authentic or hasan, good or weak. And alhamdulillah, today I'm able to give you some information about hadith number 286. 684. Hadith number 684, and this is page number 286. The hadith was concerning a person who will hold the grape. He doesn't sell his products. Hadith number 684, page number 286. Hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Buraydah. عن أبيه رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حبس العنب أيام القطاف حتى يبيعه ممن يتخذه خمرا فقد تقحم النار على بصيرة. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم supposed to be saying, whosoever hoards grapes in the vintage season, till he sells them to those who get wine out of them, he has hastily thrown himself into hellfire with clear knowledge. This hadith find it to be weak. The hadith is weak, da'if. Although, as I said last week, that the meaning of the hadith is correct, but nevertheless that the chain of the hadith is weak. So if somebody who holds the grapes for such a purpose to sell it to somebody while he knew that he's selling it for him and the buyer is buying it for him so he can make wine out of it, he had indeed indulge in haram. His transaction is un-Islamic. It's forbidden. And this will relate to anything that knowing that the buyer will use it for something forbidden in Islam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also saying, وَلَا تَعْوَنُ عَلَى الْإِثْمُ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, that help one another towards righteousness and good deed, and don't help one another towards evil and sin and transgression. So if somebody selling anything, any item, doesn't matter what it is, and he knows that this item, it could not be used for anything except the ma'asiyah and the disobedience of Allah, the earning is haram, the selling is haram, the buying is haram, the money that occurred out of this transaction is haram. And give example, as example, people who selling musical instruments, because musical instruments could not be used for anything except haram, because we understand that all musical instruments are forbidden Islamically. So for somebody, except the doof, for somebody to manufacture the musical instruments, he's doing something haram. For somebody to sell it, to buy it, to distribute it, he is involved in that haram. His case will be like the person who selling the grapes for somebody to take it and squeeze it and make wine out of it. Also, we give another example by somebody selling whippings to the kuffar, knowing that the kuffar will use this whipping to fight against the Muslim and kill the Muslims. And it's the obvious example that we see nowadays, the people who go and participate in the kuffar army. People go and participate in the kuffar army, being part of it, okay? Regardless whatever their position, if they soldiers or they guard the, if they guard the station or they work in communication, anything in the kuffar army. Why? Because this is a system for the kuffar against the Muslim. And even if the kuffar, they did not use these things against the Muslim, but they still using it unfairly against kuffar like them, still this is a system for the evil. Because they are not supposed to assist even kafir to do the haram, even if he will do this haram by himself. Neither is supposed to assist the kafir to transgress against anybody, even if he transgressing against a kafir like him, because transgression is haram by the law of Allah. So again, the hadith is weak, the meaning of the hadith is correct, and that we have to be careful of indulging in anything that is forbidden by Allah, to sell it or to buy it or to produce it or to commercialize it or to be in any kind of contribution in the process of such item. We will come back again to our subject today, and this is going to be starting from hadith number 692. This is a new chapter, chapter number 2, and this chapter is still under the same book of business and transaction. The new chapter today, chapter Bab al-Khiyar, Babu al-Khiyar, chapter 2, conditional bargains, page number 289. We're dealing with the first hadith in the chapter today, which is hadith number 692, عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا ابتاع رجلان فكل واحد منهما بالخيار ما لم يتفرقا وكانا جميعا أن يخير أحدهما الآخر فإن خير أحدهما الآخر فتبايعا على ذلك فقد وجب البيع وإن تفرقا بعد أن تبايعا ولم يترك واحد منهما البيع فقد وجب البيع متفق عليه. This chapter today dealing with الخيار. خيار that you make that you give the other partner, not the other partner, the other person, the choice, okay? That means the buyer will give the seller a choice, or the buyer will give the seller the choice.
Same thing twice.
Okay. The seller will give a choice to the buyer, or that the buyer will give a choice to the seller. Okay, so we have three things or four things involved for business transaction. You have a person who has a item, he has a
commodity.
The commodity. So this is one part. The person who owns this commodity is another part. The person who will buy this commodity, okay, this is another part. Okay, the money that going to be transacted between them. So this is four things here. Okay, so you have the buyer, and you have the seller, and you have the commodity. Okay, so now that the buyer will give the seller a choice, okay, or the seller will give the buyer a choice. A choice about what? About the time involved, as example. Okay, as we studied before, that if two Muslims, they conduct a business together, and they left this kind of meeting or this kind of sitting, now the sale is final. Okay, as long as they still sitting in the same area, the same spot, although they transact the commodity, you give me your book, I give you the $5 you bought, you sold, okay, and now is in my hand, my money is in your pocket. As long as you're still sitting here in this area, this is not final. The moment that I step out of this room, now is final. Okay, so as long as still sitting in the same gathering, the same room, the same spot, I can come and change my mind. Okay, so now I can make the deal, and I will ask you to finalize immediately, even if I don't leave the spot. This is called khiyar, so I'm giving you a choice. Or they sell it to you, and I give you another choice, that even if we step out of this room, I would like to have up to 3 days until I make my mind. You see? So this called khiyar, that means giving one of the others. Okay, one of the two persons giving the other person a choice of keeping the commodity or return it back. Okay, is this understood? So this is the chapter that we're dealing with today. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that إذا ابتاع رجلان, when two men involved in transaction, one selling and one buying, they still have the choice as long as they did not separate it from one another. Okay, let's see what he says. Is both parties in business transaction have a right to
annul,
that means to cancel, with another word, nullify. Yes. The bargain, so long as they have not separated and are together. Or one of them, he will make a condition, okay, to the other person. So if the other partner or the other person accepts the condition, now even if they still remaining in the same place, the business is final. Okay, the business is final, except he make the condition to be a day, or I go to show it to the mechanic, or that I show it to my wife. okay, whatever it is that he want to make it a condition, and the seller has the right to accept or no, and the buyer have also the same right to accept or no. As soon as one of them makes the condition and the other person accept it, now the deal is final according to this condition. So will be final when the term take place, when is the 3 days elapsed, as example, or when they give the money, he take the product in his hand, this it, because this was the condition. So whatever condition they made it, this is what we're talking about today, al-khiyar. Or one of them tells the other to exercise his right and he does it. Then they make the bargain according to that. The transaction becomes then binding, or when they separate after having made the bargain and none of them has annulled it. The bargain becomes then binding. This hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Okay? The scholars, they had broke it down different khiyar, different conditions, like the condition of setting, the condition of time, the condition of, you see, and whatever conditions they making, as long as not making something haram or something halal and acceptable to both of them, this will be a conditional transaction, and as soon as the condition take place, now this deal is final. If they did not make a condition, how is going to the deal be final? As soon as what is separate from your sitting or your gathering, you gave me the product, I gave you the money, we did not make condition, the moment that I step out of here, this is, okay, it's binding on me as well as you. Nevertheless, we want to remind ourselves again with hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was the last hadith that we discussed last week, was hadith number 691. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أقال مسلما بيعته أقال الله عثرته. And the hadith is authentic. That Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whosoever accepted back what he had sold to a Muslim, Allah will forgive his fault. Okay? But this is not a must. This out of your own goodness. Okay? That when your brother come, I say, yes, I know that the deal is final, but I really, after I pay you the money, now I have a flat tire and I thought you understand I was going to fix it, but they told me I have to buy a new tire and I don't have money. Do you think he can take this suitcase back and give me my $50? Yeah, you don't have to, but Islam encouraging you that when your Muslim brother come back with the product that he bought it and he want you to take it back, that you be kind, okay, and they try to accommodate him. And if you do so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return this favor to you in the day of the judgment. When he comes with your faults, with your problems, Allah also will accept you and Allah will forgive you. The next hadith in our chapter for today, hadith number 693, this in page number 290. وعن عمر ابن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال البائع والمبتاع بالخيار حتى يتفرقا الا ان تكون صفقة خيار، ولا يحل له ان يفارقه خشية ان يستقيله. اوكي، حديث اذ حسن. This hadith, which in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Nisa'i and Ahmad and Ad-Dharqutni, the hadith reported by Amr ibn Shu'ayb an Abih, may Allah be pleased with him, with them all. Safqa, okay, that a man put his hand in the other man's hand to promise that, like a sign of acceptance the transaction, okay, like what you call it in America, the shake hand, okay, like somebody with a mega deal and he shake hands with one another, that means the deal is final. Let's have a shake hand over this, okay? So this what you call a safqa. Narrated Amr ibn Shu'ayb an Abi an Jaddi that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the two parties in business transaction have a right to annul it so long as they have not separated, unless it is a bargain with the right to annul. Again, the condition. So it's similar to the hadith that we just talked, okay? So as long as sitting in the same gathering, the same room, you have the right to what? To cancel this deal. Except what? If it's condition. What is the condition can be here? That I said, listen, you buy this and if you buy now, it's final. Doesn't matter if I step out of here or no. Now this is a condition. If the person accepts the deal, it's final. Okay? But still Islam telling us what? And one has not the right to separate from the other for fear that he may demand that the bargain be
rescinded.
Okay? So again, how is Islam telling us that we have to be considerate? Yes, you made the bargain and you make it conditional, okay? So don't take advantage of your Muslim brother. Or though you make it a condition, I say, listen, if you pay $10 for this, this is a final deal, and if you give me the money in my hand, the deal is final. He said yes. He gives you the $10, and the next thing that you fly out of the room. You see why? Because that you're afraid that the man, by the time he look and think about it again, he feel, oh man, I can buy two for $10. Why I pay 10? You see, still you understand? Always Islam try to, you have to be, try to be better. Okay, try to be the older brother, like they say. Okay, be the big brother. Last hadith in this chapter, hadith number 694, عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: ذكر رجل لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه يخدع في البيوع، فقال: إذا بايعت فقل لا خلابة. متفق عليه. Okay. This Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated this hadith. This hadith in collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima. that this man, whenever he go in a bargain or making a deal or making a business transaction, he used to be fooled or deceived by the seller. Okay? So he complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that when you go to deal with business transaction, say to what? When you make a bargain, say, deceiving is not allowed. Okay? That means like a condition again. I'm taking it with the condition that is no deceiving. Okay? So now, if you make this condition with the seller, you are a buyer, you make this condition with the seller, you take the commodity, or the car, the book, whatever, the food, you take it home and you go, and you see something wrong with it, you have the right to come and bring it back. Okay? You have the right to bring it back. So this hadith is giving us the permissibility, or teaching us the permissibility of using the condition in our bargain, saying that is no cheating. Okay? That it would give you the right as a buyer if you found defect or cheating, that you will return the commodity. Also, the hadith is showing us that the transaction that has deceiving, is bonding, or is okay, but still Islam doesn't encourage it. Okay? And there is a difference between something minor and something major. Okay? So there is sometimes, in most cases, you will find something, but you could not have something like perfect, you understand, like 100%. Okay? So, regardless that the buyer know it or he doesn't know, but still this not the manner of Islam, and Islam doesn't encourage this. So if I sold it, you understand, you sold the pencil, and you know it's a pencil, but you expect, and as soon as you start to use it, it's going to write. So now you found the pen is broken, the head of the pen is broken, the tip of the pencil is broken. Now I will take, you understand, for you that you found sharpener, okay, to use it, or that you have to keep what you call filing until you start using it. It has some defect, minor, okay. The bargain or the contract is still acceptable, okay, but does not mean that Islam encourages this. Okay, we'll go inshallah to another chapter, and this is a new chapter under business transaction, and this talks about usury or interest, which some people, they make a difference between usury and interest. Okay, but basically we have a word used in Arabic here, which are riba. Okay, riba, linguistic speaking, means increased. Okay, increased in the item itself, or increasing as a result of some money. Okay, as example, dollar for $2. Okay, this is called increasing. You give him one, you sell him $1 and he buy it for $2, or you lend him $1 and he return it for you $2. This is called increasing. This was the increasing core riba. The matter of usury or interest riba is very, very serious in Islam. It's very serious. And so I can say that almost the worst thing can be committed after associating partner beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and neglecting the salah. I could not see anything else, okay, can be worse than this. To such a degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talk about the seriousness of usury or dealing with the usury or what's the other word, interest, okay, he said if you don't give up dealing with it, be ready for a war between you, Allah, and his messenger. So the individual or the family or the society that dealing with usury, eating the usury, giving the usury, they going to be in a war. There is a war between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if somebody in a war between Allah and his messenger, they never going to succeed, even if they have all the money. They could not win. No way they can profit. The first hadith that we have it in chapter number 3, usury, which is page number 290, hadith number 695. وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم آكل الربا وموكله وكاتبه وشاهديه وقال هم سواء. رواه مسلم وللبخاري نحوه. This hadith reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of the Imam Muslim as well as al-Bukhari with slight different narration close to it. So the hadith is authentic. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying la'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akil al-riba. That the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the one who eats usury. That means he accepted, because you take the usury and you buy the food, whatever it is, so you eat it, you receive it. Call the eater of the usury, okay, the person who receives it. Muwakkiluhu is the person who gives it. Okay, the person who gives it. Doesn't matter the giver is individual or an institution. Okay, so individual, you go to somebody and you borrow money from him, or that you go to an institution like the bank, okay, and you borrow from